The first reading is taken from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone as he had need. This is the word of the Lord.
Today's gospel is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Hear the gospel of the Lord according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Judging others. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Pete shared with us the theme of our service today, getting even. If any of you were watching the football at lunchtime on television yesterday, Man City against Crystal Palace, I think you've got a prime example of 22 men getting even with each other in the worst ways possible. The aggression and the anger on their faces was something to behold. Not a good example. I digress. Let's pray together. Father, take the words that you have given to each of us to hear today and help us to do your will. Amen. So, our subject today, getting even. When we read that passage from Acts today, we read that all the believers were of one heart and mind. I guess that's a kind of idealism, isn't it? Is that really possible amongst a group of people? Everyone in total agreement? So I ask the question, is that possible? Or maybe I'm just a little bit envious. Would I not just love to live in a society that was incredibly united and without any needs? A culture where great grace was upon all of us. Could it, might it just be possible? Are there actually any communities that live like that? Well, when Doug and I visited Swansea on the Orkney Islands last year, we took a short boat trip to a tiny little island called Papa Swansea, where there is a small community of a group called the Sons of the Most Holy Redeemer, who live in a kind of monastery. I guess if you spend every waking hour together, you need to find a way of working things through. So chatting with the priests that were over there, I really got the impression that each of that group of people have their own roles. And each one of them have learned to rely on each other. They all use their individual skills and talents. They grow their own food. They keep their own flock. And then I found myself on the boat trip going back. What would happen then? What would be the complication if some of those who were skilled in cooking, for example, move off the island and go to another community elsewhere? How do they manage? What do they do? My guess was they'd have to fill the gap. And from their conversation, it seems like what they do is when they know somebody is moving away to another community, they pray new members with those skills and talents into their community. Got me thinking, maybe in our community, here at St Andrews, we need to do a bit more work on that perspective, allowing God to work through the places that we're lacking. You see, it's only when each of us recognise our weaknesses that we open ourselves up to receiving that really important book word, grace. When we try to do everything on our own and not involving the Lord, are we perhaps suggesting that there's no need for God's presence in our lives? I wonder if that's what I'm doing. I think I can do everything. And then maybe I forget that I need the Lord because I want to do it all myself. Maybe each one of us, me included, needs to acknowledge that we are not self-sufficient. We are needing to be willing to bring who we are and what we have and then offer our lives to the work of God's kingdom. Then, when we do that together, we'll have more than enough to fulfill the grace that we need to have. Those believers in Acts experienced abundance, not because they were all the same, not because they had the same thoughts, not because they had the same background, but actually because they were all different. Through their individual experiences and gifts, they were all able to contribute to a more complete community. Each bringing who they were and what they had, they didn't experience the need. I believe that every skill and every gift that each of us have is equal, none better than the other. Each of those gifts and skills are necessary and important to be part of the great big jigsaw puzzle of life. Sharing in its very best way. Our second reading from Matthew today could be considered a way of working well together as a body of people, any community. Maybe it's speaking to us here at St Andrews. Because Jesus talks of us being judgmental of other people. I think God was speaking to me very clearly as I read that over and over again. How big is the plank in your eye, Angela Fraser? How huge is that plank? Do you even know that plank is in your eye? So I puzzled on this passage for quite a long time, and I read quite a few books and commentaries on the subject. And so this is not my quote. This is a quote from a wonderful biblical scholar. It seems to me the way I judge others can be one of two ways. I can pass judgment on that person. Have they lived up to some standard of conduct that I find acceptable? Or do they fall short of it? The other way I can judge would be show mercy, to recognise that just like myself, they are fallible and not answerable to me. I can leave judgment to God and demonstrate God's love, mercy, and grace to that person. Wow. Do they fall short? Or maybe that actually it's not me to judge? The warning that comes with this teaching, it goes on to say, is that I will be judged in the same way that I judge others. If I want to be judged mercifully, then I need to demonstrate mercy towards others as well. If I fail to show mercy, can I really expect God to be merciful to me? Wow. Angela Fraser, you need to be demonstrating mercy and not being judgmental. It was like something hit me between the eyes. I wonder what you hear in those words. Read that passage when you get home. Remind yourself of how those communities lived and what God told us about living as a community of one heart and mind. And so that title again, Getting Even, such an enormous challenge for all of us. I would guess that many of us here want to always be right. We always think we're doing the right thing. We often think we know best. But the challenge that I think we have is to take hold of all of those thoughts. When we think we're right, when we think we know the best, take hold of those thoughts for a while, and then ask God if we've included grace into those situations and conversations that we find. And if we do, if we still feel that our way is right after we've talked to God about it and he's given us the answer, then go forward, folks, because God will go in front of us. If he's part of it, if we've included him in it. Being a community is a shared experience. It's not sole occupancy. It's a shared feeling. It's a shared community. It's not just God and me. It's God, community, and me. If we want to make it work. After all, our strap line is written on our service sheets and everywhere, doing everything through God's love in the community. We need to try and remember to add the Lord into every equation. Ask him to be part of all our adding up. So when we get together, everything we do, we share and equally divide everything so that I'm not the best. Nobody is the best. Equality is the rule. But most of all, folks, grace has to be at the top of the pile. And then when we've put grace into the equation, do we still want to get even with people? Do we? Just last week, Trev spoke about the fact that we have been working through this book about grace. And every one of us have heard that word grace over and over again. We've read it, we've heard it, we've spoken the word. Those people in the book of Acts were of one heart and of one mind. Grace has to come from our hearts, not just from our words. Thank you, God, that you have given each one of us grace here today. Help us to use the grace that we have been given, including me. Amen.